Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing back.
Basketball fans here in the United States often describe this month as March Madness, but they're feeling March Sadness after the announcement that U.S. college basketball's annual March Madness Championship Tournament will take place without fans in attendance because of the growing coronavirus outbreak. And on Wednesday night, the North American sports calendar was rocked even more when the National Basketball Association said it was suspending its season. The AP's Ed Donahue reports.
The NBA has suspended its season until further notice because of the coronavirus. The Utah Jazz were supposed to play the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Rudy Gobert, he's out with an illness.
Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus. The game wasn't played. Gobert is being treated in Oklahoma City. Mike Malone is the coach of the Denver Nuggets.
Rudy Gobert, you know, you think this is, you know, it's not going to affect us. We're the NBA. One of our players has the coronavirus.
For most people, the coronavirus causes only mild or moderate symptoms, fever and cough. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban says this is much bigger than basketball.
I'm a lot more worried about my kids and my mom, who's 82 years old, you know, and talking to her and telling her to stay in the house than I am about when we play our next game.
The NBA is on hold with 21% of the season left to play. I'm Ed Donahue.
Thanks, Ed. On Thursday, reports said Utah's all-star guard Donovan Mitchell has also tested positive for coronavirus. We heard Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban say he's worried about his children and his 82-year-old mother. Cuban says the NBA made the correct move regarding coronavirus.
If the NBA, you know, effectively if one player, two players, whatever it is, already have it, you know, we'll have to act accordingly, and I think the NBA made the right decision.
Mark Cuban says the NBA reached out to government public health officials in suspending the season.
The NBA has hired people with expertise in those areas, and they're working with people from the government and other expert areas, other people with expertise, and so we have to defer to them, and that's exactly what we'll do.
Mark Cuban did get some good news Wednesday night when his Mavericks beat the visiting Denver Nuggets. The AP's Bob Stevens reports from Dallas, Texas.
The Dallas Mavericks snapped a two-game losing streak as they defeated the Denver Nuggets 113-97. The Mavs, who trailed 85-84 after three, outscored the Nuggets 29-12 in the final quarter to capture the victory. Boban Marjanovic led the Mavs with a career-high 31 points, a season-high 17 boards, including 16 points in the decisive fourth quarter. Luka Doncic had 28 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds, while Jamal Murray led Denver with 25 points. Will Barton added 23. Bob Stevens, Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. Elsewhere around the NBA, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid returned to the court after a sprained left shoulder injury to help lead the Philadelphia 76ers to their 39th victory of this now suspended NBA season. Embiid scored 30 points and grabbed 14 rebounds as Philadelphia beat the visiting Detroit Pistons 124-106. Philadelphia's head coach, Brett Brown, defended the decision to play the game in the wake of the coronavirus, and he praised NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
Adam Silver is an amazing leader, and we're a part of this NBA brotherhood, and the instruction was to come in and play the game. And if you look at the proactive measures our club has taken and that the league has taken, you know, I think they should be applauded.
Meanwhile, I think Hall of Fame basketball player Dikembe Mutombo should be applauded for his humanitarian work over the years. And the Congolese giant joins us now with this important public service announcement.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
In African football, you might say Uganda's head coach, Jonathan McKinstry, has a lot on his soccer plate these days. The 34-year-old McKinstry is preparing the Ugandan Cranes for upcoming 2021 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying matches against South Sudan. In addition, McKinstry is putting Uganda's local players through their paces for next month's African Nations Championship, or CHAN, in Cameroon. Joining us now from Kampala is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty greetings, Magume!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Uganda Cranes CHAN squad engaged in a practice match at James Facility in Kampala. 34 players are competing to make the cut for the 24-man squad that will be selected for the CHAN finals in Cameroon next month. Team captain Halidi Lualiwa knows this is a chance for him and others to prove themselves to the coach and earn one of the 5 slots available for the home-based players that will be included in the senior national team.
He said it's open, everyone can do it, and among us, we are 34. He's only supposed to be picking. He's supposed to pick 4 or 5. Because if you want to play for the senior team, that means you have to work hard and maybe be picked among those.
CHAN is the African Nations Championship, a Barano football tournament exclusively featuring players that play in their respective national championships. The Cranes are grouped alongside neighbors Rwanda, Togo, and Morocco. Ugandan defender Lualiwa says all players are in fine form and hope to perform well at the contender showpiece. His coach, Jonathan McKinstry, agrees. He says he'll be banking on the Sekafa experience and triumph when his team sets off to Yaounde in April.
We've got a number of new boys as well who weren't with us back in December when we were preparing for the Sekafa Cup, so they've got a bit of learning to do, a bit of catching up to do in terms of our tactical approach. But they're doing very well, and we've been pleased definitely with the new guys at just how much effort and endeavour they've been putting into getting up to the mark. And we think over the next 2-3 weeks they'll be in a really good place come the start of the tournament.
McKinstry and his technical team will be busy in the coming weeks, training both the CHAN and AFCON squads. His team tops Group B in the 2021 AFCON qualifiers with 4 points after 2 games, and says South Sudan will be a formidable opponent.
Yeah, I think the South Sudan games are obviously very important for us. We want to try and take maximum points. We know that won't be easy. South Sudan, I think as they showed against Malawi and Burkina Faso, are a much more stubborn team than they've maybe been in past years. So we will have to be at our best to take points. But, you know, our ambition is to go back to the African Cup of Nations in Cameroon next year. And we know these are the games that you have to prove you deserve it in.
The Uganda Cranes will host South Sudan's Bright Stars on March 28th and play the return leg 3 days later at Unito Ground, since Juba Stadium is under construction. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And thanks, Magume, for that report. In European club football, Liverpool's defense of its UEFA Champions League title came to an end Wednesday in a second-leg home loss to Atletico Madrid. The loss also ended Liverpool's 42-match unbeaten streak at Anfield in all competitions. Joining us with details is VOA's Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey, Sonny. Statistically speaking, Wednesday's Champions League match was bent in Liverpool's favor, but it was the defending champions' failure to convert their chances into goals that ultimately led to their 3-2 loss against Atletico in extra time. Afterwards, visibly exhausted Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp said his opponent's win was well-deserved, but admitted something didn't feel right about his team's defeat.
The way they play, I just don't get. I don't get it. But that's right. The winner is right. That's how it is. We tried everything. For 2.5 years, we had an exceptional ride in the Champions League. It's like we had party after party after party in the Champions League, pretty much. And it was tonight a party. It was everything was set. It was great. Crowd, exceptional. The stadium, everything showed up in the best way. The boys delivered super game, fought hard, played well, scored wonderful goals, but we lost. So that's it. No impact on nothing. So we have now more time to prepare the Premier League games. Obviously, we will see how the season will go on. Nobody knows that, obviously, in a moment exactly. And that's it. How was that? We were lucky in moments in the Champions League when we went through for some reason. Usually we really deserved it, but there were lucky moments as well. Tonight, we're out. How was that? Atletico won both games. They're deserved in the next round. So now from now on, we will watch Champions League instead of be part of.
Atletico's tight defense and compact midfield was nearly impenetrable against Liverpool's offense. And after their win, manager Diego Simeone summed up his strategy.
A ganar. Con sus armas, a ganar.
Simeone says his game plan was to win, using our weapons to win, respecting our identity, respecting the characteristics of the players we have, exploiting our rivals' weaknesses, and that's how we play. Atletico's defensive strategy has put them in sixth place in La Liga standings, with future league matches in question. On Thursday, the organizing body issued a statement that said all soccer matches in Spain's top two divisions have been suspended for 2 weeks because of the coronavirus outbreak. Matches below the top two divisions have already been postponed. Thursday's decision comes after Real Madrid put its squad into quarantine after a Real Madrid basketball player tested positive for the virus. La Liga says it considers the soccer suspension appropriate action for the next phase of protocol against COVID-19. Juventus defender Daniele Rugani has become the first Serie A player to test positive for the virus. The entire squad, including Cristiano Ronaldo, will be quarantined for the next 2 weeks, and they will not play their match against Olympique Lyon in the second leg of their Champions League match, scheduled for next week. In fact, all Champions League matches are in question due to the coronavirus that has hit Europe particularly hard. On Thursday, UEFA issued a statement calling for a meeting of European football stakeholders to discuss its response to the outbreak. The statement says the discussion will include all domestic and European competitions, including Euro 2020. That meeting is set to take place on Tuesday, March 17th, and with reports speculating that the Champions League and Europa League could be suspended, all eyes are on the Premier League. So far, British sport is carrying on as usual, which is good news for Liverpool fans. Liverpool are the runaway leaders in the Premier League and only 2 wins from clinching the title. Fans say the coronavirus should not be allowed to unseat them, and all remaining games should not be played behind closed doors.
Well, I think you have to be worried about what they'll do. I think there's massive decisions to be made, but I think that to take it away from us would be... I can't imagine they could let this happen. I don't think any right, fair-minded person, even in Manchester, could agree to that.
It's a very weird feeling. We're seeing some of the highlights from the games last night. It's just not the same without the fans being there. I can't see how they can go with closed door games, really. I don't think that's going to work. I think there might be a bit of postponement for a couple of weeks and then it'll carry on, I think.
Fans make football, and you can't play football without fans. The atmosphere is gone, and it'll kill the clubs, especially the lower leagues. So you can't do it. If you're going to have to do it closed doors, postpone it, rearrange?
I mean, we know we've won it, two games to go. I mean, I think if they try to stop and take it away from us, I think there'll be a big old riot. So I don't think they could do that to this city. 30 years of waiting. You know, I think the title's ours.
A Premier League title would be the first time in 30 years Liverpool is crowned English champions. Sports fans, the coronavirus outbreak has permeated the world of sports, and we will keep you informed of any updates as this fast-moving story develops. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Well, the sky's the limit for an Olympic skateboarding prodigy from Britain. In his latest Game Room podcast, VOA's Jim Stevenson profiled Sky Brown, and he also had tennis and horse racing news. But first, let's look to the sky.
Olympic dreams can begin at a young age.
The skateboard was my favorite toy.
The toy was so much fun for Sky Brown of Britain. As a very young child, she literally rode her skateboard more than she walked.
Once I got the board, I'm like, I can't walk anywhere. Like, I only can, like, it just made more funner being on the skateboard.
Now 11 years old, she takes that fun to the Tokyo Olympics as the youngest ever member of the British Olympic team. But first, the skateboard prodigy had to beg her parents, with help from her Team GB coach, to let her compete on sport's biggest stage.
My parents thought it was too much pressure, but then Team GB, the Lucy Adams, she said that, like, there was no pressure, just get out there, have fun, and that's more like the way I skate.
The Tokyo Olympics provide even more of a special occasion for Brown and her parents.
I get to be in my mom's country because she's Japanese, and that's Japan is where I was born, where I grew up. It's basically like my home, where my favorite food is. And I also get to compete for my dad's country. So I think that's going to be really cool.
Sky Brown also has a mission while she rides her skateboard at the Olympics.
I want to go to the Olympics to inspire, because I feel like sometimes girls are afraid to do what they want to do.
Sky Brown has already won a world championship bronze medal and incredibly became the first female ever to land a frontside 540 at the X Games last year. She picked up a lot of tricks from watching videos on YouTube. While riding and turning high in the air, 11-year-old Sky Brown has a very mature and grounded approach to her Olympic debut.
It would be cool to get the gold medal, but, well, I'm going to try my best, but I'm just going to have fun.
Over the past 2 years, the public has watched with growing concern the reports of death and injury in the business of professional horse racing.
U.S. Attorney Jeffrey S. Berman announced doping charges that allegedly affected horse races in New York, New Jersey, Florida, Ohio, Kentucky, and the United Arab Emirates.
Today, we announce criminal charges against racehorse trainers Jorge Navarro and Jason Service, as well as 9 other trainers, 7 veterinarians, and 9 drug suppliers and distributors, all involved in the cruel and systematic doping of racehorses across the United States and indeed around the world, using misbranded, adulterated, and dangerous performance-enhancing drugs.
The charges were detailed in 4 indictments unveiled in Manhattan federal court. Authorities said participants in the fraud misled government agencies, including federal and state regulators. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, various state horse racing regulators, and the betting public.
The defendants who we charge today engaged in this conduct not for the love of the sport and certainly not out of care for the horses, but for money. To secure cash prizes by increasing a racehorse's chances of winning races, or to make money by manufacturing and selling illegal drugs. And it was the racehorses that paid the price for the defendant's unbridled greed.
U.S. Attorney Jeffrey S. Berman says one of the horses involved is Maximum Security, who finished first at last year's Kentucky Derby, only to become just the second winner of the famed Triple Crown race to be disqualified after impeding the progress of competitors.
And just last week, Maximum Security won a major race in the Middle East. His trainer, Jason Service, as alleged, gave SGF 1000 to almost every horse he trained, including Maximum Security.
Prosecutors noted in the indictments that professional horse racing is a $100 billion industry, followed by millions of fans worldwide, with top racehorses selling at auction for well over $1 million. Coronavirus has claimed another sports event victim, this time the BNP Paribas Open, the near-major tennis tournament originally set for this week in the California desert. Indian Wells Mayor Ty Peabody described the decision as a tragedy for local businesses.
I'm very disappointed. It's a huge economic problem for the valley. Cost the valley probably $375 million. Cost the city of Indian Wells $4 million. I feel badly for the employees at the Indian Wells tennis tournament. I feel badly for the management. They run a phenomenal tournament. This is just a very unfortunate situation.
The cancellation announcement came late Sunday after many players were already in the desert practicing. Mayor Peabody told KESQ Television the move affects more than just the players and fans.
For the restaurants and all of these people, they're all going to lose probably 30% of their business during the busiest part of the year. It's a tragedy. It's unfortunate.
Qualifying matches were to begin Monday, with women's main draw matches starting Wednesday and the men's draw beginning Thursday. California Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency with over 100 cases of coronavirus reported in the state.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. The world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team has lifted the She Believes Cup after a 3-1 victory over Olympic host Japan Wednesday night near Dallas, Texas. Megan Rapinoe, Kristen Press, and Lindsey Horan scored for the American women, who extended their unbeaten streak to 31 matches, a period spanning more than a year. It also marked the third time the USA has won the She Believes Cup since the tournament kicked off in 2016. In the doubleheader opener on Wednesday, Spain defeated England 1-0. Now, the USA's victory was not without controversy. An increasingly bitter pay dispute between the American players and the U.S. Soccer Federation spilled onto the field. Players wore their warm-up jerseys inside out in a protest during the national anthems and team photo. By doing so, the players hid the U.S. Soccer Federation crest on their jerseys, but allowed the four stars, one for each World Cup title, to be visible. The players filed a gender discrimination lawsuit against the federation last year. The case is scheduled for trial starting May 5th in Los Angeles, California. The federation submitted legal papers this week claiming the women are less skilled and have less demanding roles than the men on its national team. The federation also announced Thursday that due to the ongoing uncertainty surrounding the coronavirus outbreak, U.S. Soccer has canceled upcoming men's and women's national team matches in March and April. With all the coronavirus cancellations and postponements going on, the Olympic torch officially began its journey to Tokyo Thursday after the traditional flame-lighting ceremony in Olympia, Greece. We'll have to stand by to see whether the Olympics are still scheduled to go on July 24th. And that wraps up the March 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers at Cardiff University in Wales say they have discovered a new type of immune cell that could someday help provide effective therapy that would fight a wide range of cancers. The researchers found that immune cells known as T cells, armed with new receptors called MR1, can find and destroy human cancer cells such as lung, skin, blood, colon, breast, bone, prostate, ovarian, kidney, and cervical cancers while ignoring the body's healthy cells. They were able to show in lab tests that MR1 modified T cells in melanoma patients could not only search and destroy the patient's own cancer cells, but could do the same to cancer cells in other patients. While the researchers admit that there are a number of obstacles to overcome, they say that if testing continues to be successful, it's hoped that this new treatment could be ready for use in a few years. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. This is VOA News.